Happy Lent, wherever you are tuning in from. I hope you've been incredibly edified during this Lenten period. Hopefully you have enjoyed the shows that we've been putting out. Hopefully you've been incredibly edified by them. We're having a lot of fun with our roundtables and with the videos that we've been putting out. And now we're going to deal with an argument that you hear come up very often. Now, by my estimation, you should be quite well aware of the argument from the book of Romans that apparently is utilized to prop up sola scriptura. It's also utilized to prop up the Jewish Old Testament canon, thus saying that the early Jewish Old Testament canon is exact to that of Protestantism. Protestantism's canon is exact to that of ancient Judaism. Thus, there was a closed canon at the time of Christ, a closed Old Testament canon, and Romans 3, the oracles of God is propped up to point to that. But when we examine what Romans chapter 3 tells us, when we look at the Greek of Romans 3, we look at what the Greek scholars say and the early church fathers say, we find that not only does sola scriptura fall apart, but the idea of a closed early Jewish canon that lines up with that of Protestantism fails miserably as well. And in order to respond to our Protestant friends, our evangelical interlocutors, we're going to look at and we're going to examine Romans 3. We're going to look at the words of Dr. Gavin Ortland and Dr. Mead. Dr. Mead, who is very well known for being a Protestant scholar, canon scholar, and Dr. Ortland, who is a Protestant apologist. And we're going to examine the very frequent error and the very unfortunate misuse of Romans 3 and of the oracles of God, how it completely really is wrenched out of context. We think you're going to really love it. We think you're going to have a whole lot of fun. Now, maybe you're watching this over here at the Apocrypha Apocalypse or at Patristic Pillars. Wherever you're watching it from, do us a huge favor. Flood the comment section for the algorithm. Our channels grow and our ministry is able to survive because of your incredible work, your incredible support, which is mind-blowing, incredible. We love you from the bottom of our heart, but you're going to have to help us a little bit more. Down below, I don't care what you put. William, I love you. Gary, I love you. David Zavaris, I love you. Thumbs up, big biceps emoji. Whatever you want to put, I don't care. Flood it down below for the algorithm. And in the meanwhile, get ready to hear that incredible intro music to pump you up and get you ready for the defense of our ancient and apostolic Catholic faith. God love you. God keep you. in a video that Dr. Mead recorded where he talked about the canon, you're going to find that Dr. Mead will bring up the argument on the oracles of God. And it's really important that we examine his comments before even diving in, before even attempting a refutation. Truly is important to hear what he has to say. Begins right around here.
About that at the Q&A. I want to just kind of wrap up here with a summary.
Now, the volume is a little bit low, so I apologize for that. There's nothing I can do about that. The volume on his end is rather low. But we're going to go over every point that he does make. Then we're going to look at Dr. Ortlund, and then we're going to go about not only refuting them from biblical Greek scholars, but more importantly, from the early church fathers.
Early Greek Old Testament lists then generally report the books of the Hebrew canon, openly so. This should not surprise us. Paul in Romans 3:2 says, what benefit is it to being a Jew, right? And the first thing he leads out with is, much in every way, they have the oracles of God.
Now we're going to pause here. What are the oracles of God? Has got to be what you stop and wonder. Are the oracles of God confined to written scriptura? To the scriptura? Are they confined to either the written or the scriptura in general? That is what you got to wonder, because that's nowhere present in the text of the book of Romans. Nowhere present, and I don't even think it's a logical conclusion. But what does Dr. Mead tell us?
And we should expect that early Christians would want to possess those too, right? And they would get that information and knowledge from the Jewish synagogue itself. So the fact that the earliest canon lists that appear generally correspond to the Hebrew canon should actually not be that surprising, and yet it is to us.
They don't correspond. There's not a single one, not a single early patristic list that lines up perfectly with the Hebrew canon or with that of Protestantism, not even the fanciful wishing of having Josephus have a Protestant canonical list. Doesn't line up, but let's rewind and go over what he has to say, what he said again. I want you all to pay attention.
Early Greek Old Testament lists then generally report the books of the Hebrew canon, openly so. This should not surprise us. Paul in Romans 3:2 says, what benefit is it to being a Jew, right? And the first thing he leads out with is, much in every way, they have the oracles of God.
So he confines the oracles of God to being scripture. And that is why he combines it with the canon, which Dr. Mead really should know better. He should break down the text. He should be aware of the way the text is utilized, Romans, in the early church. Now, we realize there's not a ton of commentaries in the book of Romans, but Dr. Mead, who does know the languages, can utilize the theological databases, the TLG, the Thesaurus Lingua Graecae, or any other patristic database to look at how that is interpreted. You're going to find that nobody, well, I'm spoiling it already. Well, you're going to find that nobody interprets Romans 3 the way Dr. Mead is interpreting it. The other problem is we recommend you get our book in the canon, because Dr. Mead has a big problem here, a giant canonical problem. None of the early fathers have the list that lines up with his list, and even Jerome is not a friend of his. As we know very well, Jerome would later accept the deuterocanonical books, even telling people to follow Pope Innocent in everything, very clearly what the great St. Jerome taught. But what else does Dr. Mead offer us?
And we should expect that early Christians would want to possess those too, right? And they would get that information and knowledge from the Jewish synagogue itself.
Where's the evidence of that, Dr. Mead? But again, there is no evidence of that. Dr. Mead has none. And unfortunately, it really does fall flat in its face to claim that, well, the early Jews possessed the oracles of God, thus the Christians received them, as if there was already a closed Old Testament canon. There was no more debate amongst the Jews. We know through the historical record, debate continued on and on as the centuries went on for the Jewish community. Not only that, Dr. Mead, but your interpretation of Romans 3 is a rather fanciful one. Now, we're very well aware of the way Protestants try to interpret Romans 3. Unfortunately, it is a tortured eisegesis of Romans 3 that really just doesn't line up. But it has become a popular apologetic effort Among Protestants, you're going to find even Dr. Ortlund will take this particular level of argumentation, and we're going to hear what he has to say as well.
Authority, because we recognize that only the words of Scripture are God-breathed.
Only the words of Scripture are God-breathed. He's using this to promote the idea of sola scriptura. Let's hear more.
Carried along by the Holy Spirit, the oracles of God.
So listen to what he says. You need to be careful. Right under the section of Scripture, he's showing the uniqueness of Scripture. And then he says,
Scripture in a unique position of paramount authority, because we recognize that only the words of Scripture are God-breathed.
Now, that's not the way the early church interpreted that. We need to be very clear there. The early church utilized theopneustos in a variety of different ways. So that interpretation for him is fanciful. But here's the other thing that's very important. We know that the word of God is not only confined to the scriptura. So there's a problem there for Dr. Ortlund, but we go onward.
Carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Every word, if it's the word of God, it's inspired and without error. If it is the word of God, it's inspired and without error, plain and simple. It doesn't have to be confined to the scriptura. But then it goes onward, and under the section of scripture, he provides Romans 3:2. Now, this is a very clear, the argument is clear. He is trying to put forth the argument that there are these unique qualities to Scripture. And Scripture, only Scripture, is also called the oracles of God. But is that true that Romans 3:2, that the oracles of God are confined to the Scripture alone? Is that true? Now, we could deal with all the other arguments of sola scriptura. Go watch my debate that I had with Theo. Theosophical wanderings, so you can see how that was definitively settled, that question, in Scripture alone. But are the oracles of God Scripture alone? Because he's telling us, look at this.
Oracles of God. Jesus quoted the Old Testament as God speaking, Spirit, the oracles of God.
Rewind a little bit.
Of paramount authority. Because we recognize that only the words of Scripture are God breathed.
Only the words of Scripture
carried
are
carried along by the Holy Spirit.
Are
the oracles of God.
Only the words of Scripture are the oracles of God, according to Gavin Ortlund. According to Gavin Ortlund and according to Dr. Mead. So this has become a very popular Protestant argument, a popular one to double down on. You find it being utilized more and more. And unfortunately, it really, we're going to find in a moment, it's going to fall apart. And you're going to find it's going to massively fall apart. And again, you're going to have to, well, hope you're not upset, but you're going to have to tune in to a part two where we dive even deeper into the argument on the oracles of God. Now, are they confined? Is it confined to the Bible alone? Is that how it's used? Now, we're going to have to dive into Scripture now. And we find the famous landmark text in Romans chapter 3. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, because to them were committed the oracles of God. What are the oracles of God? Now, that is really what should be at the core of our dialogue or discussion. What are the oracles of God? What is St. Paul referring to here? Is it Scripture alone? Is that even in the context here? Read it again. What advantage then has the Jew? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way. Chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. Where on earth is this even hinted at being Scripture was given to them? What advantage does the Jew have? Or what is the profit of circumcision? Oh, much in every way, because they received the Scriptures. Really? Where's that in the context? And where on earth did the Jews ever confine their teaching, their belief system, to the Scripture alone? Where did the early church ever do that? Never. That was never on their mind. couldn't have been the furthest thing from the mind of St. Paul. Yet this is what we're being told, this fanciful interpretation. It is what is being laid at our feet. And we should say we've had enough of it. We've had enough of this tortured eisegesis, this pretend exegesis. We've had enough of it, should be the point at where we're arriving at. This is a tortured interpretation. Oracles, logia or logion, in Strong's word. Now, Strong's exhaustive concordance, we're going to look at a number of Greek lexicons, dictionaries. We think it's so important to be able to look at what they have to say. Now, we realize that the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, or a lot of people just refer to it as Kittles, Kittles Theological Dictionary of the New Testament, or Kittles, in the scholarly realm, in the apologetic realm, we know what is being referred to when we hearken to Kittles. What does the Theological Dictionary of the New Testament say? A standard. If you're doing research, if you are diving in, if you are digging in and you're doing scholarly research, you're going to dive in and utilize Kittles Theological Dictionary. And page 514 tells us about Romans 3:2. The divine logia are specifically, but not exclusively, God's promises to Israel. Look at that. The divine logia are specifically, but not exclusively, God's promises to Israel. Where does it say scripture alone or primarily scripture? I mean, that is a fanciful reading. We've got to ask, where is that? Oracle, Numbers 24:4-16. Thy words, promises of the Lord, words of my mouth. Look at how it is used over and over and over. Where do you ever find it being confined to scripture alone or the written word alone? Or I know what Protestants say. Well, you know what? The oral word and the written word, they line up and they don't differ at all. To that, we, of course, object. But where does the oracles of God even refer that in general to the scripture itself? Rather, promises of the Lord is utilized. Oracle, thy words, words of my mouth. So there is a differing, it varies in the manner in which it is used. It is not used in only one particular manner. How is it used in the Bible? Kittles Dictionary, again, we'll go over it one more time before we move on to another scholarly theological source. Kittles Theological Dictionary states about the usage of Romans 3:2, the divine logia are specifically, but not exclusively, God's promises to Israel. So that's what Kittles has to say. Yet Mead and Gallagher would have you to believe something else, because each has their own agenda they want to put forth. Dr. Ortlund wants you to believe in the Bible alone as sole standard of faith and morals, as the sole standard, the ultimate standard, whatever he wants to say. Mead also wants you to believe that, but he wants you to believe that the Jews were in possession of the Old Testament canon, and that was passed down to the early church, that Christ would have held to the Old Testament canon, and the oracles of God is evidence of that. So each one has their own theological argument. They're putting forth their own theological position. They have dug their feet in a certain position. Are they right? They are not right. Neither of them. And nobody that utilizes this argument. They're not right. Freiburg Analytical Greek Lexicon says logion, plural in the New Testament, for oracles, sayings, message. Look at that. Originating from God and received as direct revelation, used of laws, promises, Romans 3:2, inspired utterances, salvation history, You catch that? It's not only used of the scriptura. It is utilized in a variety of different ways, as the analytical Greek lexicon tells us. So we can look everywhere. In Greek, scholar after scholar, lexicon after lexicon, dictionary after dictionary, and later in the patristic era, we'll go through every era, all of the important commentaries. Here at the Apocryphal Apocalypse, you get firsthand scholarly material. We hope you're enjoying it. A lot of the times, the resources we have are translated originally from us because they're not available in English. A lot of the time, sometimes we're able to find them in books that cost a lot of money that we're able to buy because you're a member, because you support us either as being a member or a patron, and we cannot thank you enough. We thank you from the bottom of our heart. Consider becoming a member or patron down below. Consider supporting us in any way you can. And buy our books on the Deuterocanon. There are links down below. Get a hold of each one. And if you get a hold of each one and you like them, let us know. It would help if you leave us a positive review. If you enjoy the book and you think it's worthy of a positive review, to leave that for us on Amazon, it would greatly help with the exposure of our material, exposure of our channel. The Freiburg Analytical Greek Lexicon, yet another example of the taking Romans 3:2 out of context. What does the Gingrich Greek New Testament lexicon say? Logion, saying, sayings, oracles. Look at that. But none of them provide the fanciful reading that Dr. Mead would want you to believe, or Dr. Ortland would want me to believe. I want to emphasize to you, the audience, one important thing. None of these scholars walk in water. I don't walk in water. Not a single scholar walks in water, and not a single one is perfect. You've got to do your own homework. You've got to go to the Bible. You've got to read the Bible, and you've got to read the early fathers, because I'm telling you right now, within Protestantism, there is a desire to keep you Protestant, and they're going to show you their, not that they're trying to lie deliberately, but they're going to try and keep you Protestant. They're going to do all that they can to keep you within the Protestant faith. So they're not going to examine what the early fathers say, because they don't really care. They don't really care about the early church fathers. I'm telling you right now. They could care less about the early church fathers. You should care about the early church fathers. But it is our opinion that they realize that there is a time, and the time is now to be desperate to try and keep people Protestant, because people are realizing more and more the problems with the canon and Protestantism. So if you say Romans 3:2 means the oracles of God, there means the Jews had the Old Testament canon. And we know that today the Jews hold to the shorter canon that lines up with Protestantism. Everything is hunky-dory. It means that you should adopt the shorter Jewish canon. But it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way, because it wasn't that simple in early Judaism. And Josephus utilized deuterocanonical texts clearly as divine scriptura. Today, modern-day Jews wouldn't use those. Protestants wouldn't either. So there's a big problem with Protestants thinking this, putting forth these arguments, but we're here to refute them. And we're here to correct them in a respectful manner. What does Donker say? The Greek New Testament lexicon, logion, saying of divine oracles, a special saying. Special saying. Well, I thought it was confined to the scripture alone, Bible alone. That's why, you know, you look at the whole canon issue that the Jews have, and, you know, it begins falling apart, doesn't it? You are slowly realizing the sloppy position of claiming that oracles of God in Romans 3:2 will not only support all sorts. Look at this. Look at what we're being told. We're being told it supports sola scriptura. We're being told it supports the shorter Protestant canon, which, of course, that's because it would line up with the ancient Jewish canon, which we don't agree with that, and history doesn't even show that it lines up with that of Protestantism. Maybe later Judaism. Show us the money, the evidence, we mean. And Josephus wouldn't agree with you, so you got a big problem. early Jewish historian Josephus is not a friend of yours. And we've shown that multiple times. Just look at the videos we've done at the Apocrypha Apocalypse. You're in trouble if you don't hold to the Catholic camp. Christ founded one church. That church is a pillar and foundation of truth. And that church, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, recognized which books were apostolic from the very beginning. Those divine books. But we're going to have to look at the early fathers, at least one early church writer before we finish up today. And we want to be very clear. We know Origen's not an early church father. So don't come to us and say, look at that, guys, we caught you. You all believe Origen's an early church father? No, we don't. But he's a great early church writer, an ecclesiastical writer. And the reason we include Origen here, because his commentary in Romans is one of the standards. It's the reason why St. Jerome didn't pen his own commentary. Because many early fathers would hearken to the incredible commentary of Origen as a great standard. So we will read Origen, and then we're going to leave you hanging by the toes. You're going to have to wait for part two, where we look at the rest of the patristic history. There's a lot more to look at, including what the reformers said about Romans 3. We hope you're excited so far. Origen, even though the oracles of God are now entrusted to the Gentiles as well, they were first entrusted to the Jews, as Paul says. Is he speaking here of the letters and the books, or of the meaning and the general gist of the law? Okay, what is he speaking of? Origen will lay it out. For we see many Jews who, from infancy to old age, never stop studying, yet they never come to a knowledge of the truth. How can it be true that they have some advantage in having been entrusted with the oracles of God first, when they do not understand what they are saying or the things about which they are making assertions? It must be understood that these things are being said about Moses, the prophets, and others like them, to whom the oracles of God were entrusted. Because there can be no doubt that they were Jews and that they had the circumcision. It would also apply to anyone who was wise, an intelligent listener, or a gifted counselor. These the Lord is said to have removed from Jerusalem because he was offended by the ungodliness of the people. The ungodliness of the people. There's more in Origen. Even the apostles of Christ and Paul himself, the vessel of election, came from the Jews and from the circumcision. He had far more in every way than those whom he taught were of the Gentiles. For the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews. Note, moreover, Paul says that the oracles of God were entrusted to the Jews, not merely the letter of the text. Look at that. So much for sola scriptura. So much for that, right? So it is possible for us to understand that those who read but do not understand, as well as those who read but do not believe, have had only the letter entrusted to them, of which the apostle says the letter kills. But the oracles of God are entrusted to those who understand and believe what Moses wrote, and who believe in Christ, as the Lord said, if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if the Jew has received more in receiving the letter and something more in the oracles of God, does this mean that those of the Gentiles who have come to Christ are somehow left out? Or is there some way in which they have more than the Jews? Listen to what the Lord says to the Gentile centurion who believed. Truly, I say to you, I have not found such faith even in Israel. Therefore, you see that when it comes to faith, the Gentiles have much more. When it comes to the letter, the Jews have much more in every way. But when it comes to faith, it is the Gentiles who have much more. This is Origen and his commentary on Romans, which we realize at times may be a little difficult to find. But we provided the text to you here to show you an early ecclesiastical writer whose writing on the book of Romans, whose commentary in the book of Romans was extolled as a virtuous and fantastic one. Now, we recognize he's not a church father, but a great ecclesiastical writer he was. And his writing and commentary on Romans utilized in the early church. So then we stop and we ponder upon the words of Mead, upon the words of Dr. Ortlund, and anyone else that utilizes the argument of the oracles of God. And we find that it ultimately fails and falls apart. Ultimately, it fails and falls apart. If you claim the Jewish canon, a number of problems, the Jewish canon lining up with that of Protestantism, or you claim sola scriptura, you run into a number of problems here. Because scholars don't agree that it was referring to the scripture alone. And the early church doesn't agree either. Now, you may come out and say, well, there are some scholars, William, that believe that. That's fine. I don't doubt that there's some that believe that. My point is that there's many Greek scholars that don't agree with that. Many Greek Protestant scholars that don't. And then we're going to find, even more important, because really at the end of the day, it's a cherry on the top of the cake. If I can show your own scholars don't agree with you. But I care more for what the early church fathers have to say. And not a one is going to agree with a Protestant interpretation of Romans 3. We've dealt with one great church writer already. In Origen, just dealt with him. We've got more for you. You may be saying, William, this is exciting. What do I do now? You become Catholic. Or you pray about it. Be serious about it. You pray. You pray and you pray. And you subscribe to Patristic Pillars if you haven't yet. And you subscribe to the Apocrypha Apocalypse if you haven't yet. And you get our brand new book in the canon, which was endorsed by a top Protestant scholar in the canon, Dr. Lee McDonald. Have you bought our book on the canon yet? There's a link down below. Get a hold of our book in the canon. Get a hold of Gary's book in the canon. Subscribe to everything so you can check out the material that Dr. David Zavaris is putting out, that Gary Machuda is putting out, and that I'm putting out. New videos every week. Scholarly material every week. Material to help feed your soul on this journey of faith that we are all going upon. Thank you very much. If you've been edified, remember, the greatest favor you can do me is flood down below for the algorithm. Flood it. Thumbs up. A big old bicep emoji. I don't care what emoji you put. Flood it. Or let me know what you thought of the show. I have a lot of people I see sometimes put 3 or 4 comments. God bless you. As many as you want. I will try to give a heart. If I give a heart to your comment, it means I read it and I loved it. There's too many sometimes for me to be able to humanly reply to because there are so many emails and messages that we get a hold of. We cannot get to them all, but we thank you for your support. Please consider supporting us by praying for us. And if you haven't subscribed and become a patron yet or a member, consider doing it down below. Thank you for your incredible support. God bless you. God keep you. Look forward to seeing you and talking with you for part 2, which will be out very soon.